Okay, so we're going to read story in this week's parsha. Oh, so the sheet's over there. Hey, pass. We're going to read a story for this week's parsha, and we'll ask seven questions. Seven questions.
So is it story? Is it the truth? Is it factual event? I mean, you're saying
there are a lot of possibilities, right? There are seven people here besides me, so seven questions. So Vayelech Moshe. So after the story of the burning bush. Hashem convinces Moshe to go to Egypt. Vayelech Moshe vayashav el Yeser chosno. Moshe returns to Yeser, his father-in-law, Yeser Yisrael v'yomer lo. He said to him, El chana v'ashuva el chai Hashem mitzvayim. Let me go, please, and let me return to my brothers that are in Egypt. Vereha odam chayim. Let me see if they're still alive. V'yomer Yisrael l'Moshe lech l'shom. He says, okay, you can go. Hashem says to Moshe in Midian, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, go return to Egypt. Anyone who wanted to kill you is dead. Right? Moshe, he fled a number of years before when he killed an Egyptian. And now, Baruch Hashem, anyone who wants to kill him is dead. Moshe takes his wife and his kids, Eliezer and Gershom. And he takes them riding on a donkey. He has them riding the donkey. And he returns to the land of Egypt. He takes the staff of God in his hand. And Hashem says to Moshe, when you go to return to Egypt, see all of the wonders that I place in your hands. And I want you to do them before Paro. But I will let you know, give him fair advance warning. I will harden his heart. He's not going to send the people away. Va'martel, Paro, you should say to Paro, so says God, my son, my firstborn Yisrael. And I say to you, send my son and let him serve me. You refuse to send him. Behold, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. So already right now, God is telling Moshe that that's going to be a major event, killing the firstborn. And it was on the way in the Malon. Which one? The Plaza? The Citadel? Okay. So, Inbal. Okay. And Hashem meets Moshe. He meets him, and he wants to kill him. Quickly, Tzipor grabs a rock. And she cuts the foreskin of her son. And she reaches his feet. And she said, Kis chasam demi matali, you are my bridegroom of blood. And he separated from him. So then she said, chasam demi lamalos. It's a bridegroom of blood for circumcision. So what I want to focus on is the second part of the story. And the second part of the story is basically Moshe is en route to Egypt with his wife, with his kids. He stops off at a hotel. Okay, he stops at a malon, and then God wants to kill him. Zipporah saves the day. She does bris milah, and then some angel of death, it seems, that he stops, that God decides not to kill him anymore. Okay,
who's he, Moshe or the
okay? Okay, that's question number one. Okay, so whom did Moshe want to kill? Was it, who did Hashem want to kill? Moshe or maybe? Maybe the baby. Okay, so it's not clear 100%. Now, why does God want to kill him? Presumably why? He's not being Mala's kid. Now, the question is, of course, I want to know, what did Moshe do wrong? I guess related to the second question. And you always want to ask, when someone does something bad, and then there's a punishment or an almost punishment, does the punishment fit the crime? Right? If it seems like failure to circumcise in a timely manner, is that a reason to want to? Does that justify killing the baby Moshe, whoever it is?
Right? I didn't want to do it because it was dangerous before they traveled.
Okay, so it's dangerous. So you're saying Moshe didn't want to do it because it's dangerous.
You don't want a sick baby. You don't want to travel.
Right. So that would strengthen the question. Right. Yeah. In other words, why did Hashem want to kill him? If Moshe thought it was dangerous, why did he want to kill him? And you could also ask, which child was not circumcised? which he has two kids, Gershom and Eliezer. Oh. The oldest, the youngest. So presumably, you would think what? Yeah, you may maybe just give him birth. She just given birth, and now Hashem happens to meet him. Hashem there's a story of the burning bush happened immediately after Eliezer is born, and that's why is that what happens? And that's why he doesn't want to circumcise him because he's a new baby. Then, is the Malone significant? Is this hotel, this lodging place significant?
Yeah. You wouldn't mention it if it wasn't.
Right. So the question is, what's the significance of this Malone? I also want to know, why Tzipora is circumcising the child, not Moshe. I also am interested, is this related at all to Hashem's speech to Moshe before, where he says, behold, I'm going to kill you. You refuse to send my son and let him serve me, and you refuse to do so, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. Is that related? Maybe not. So we're going to discuss three different approaches that will address some of these questions. So what's the standard answer? You're saying standard answer maybe is what? That she didn't? It seems that as soon as Tzipporah circumcises her son, then the punishment or stopped, or there's this desire to kill him, and then she circumcises the son, and then no more punishment. So it's one would think that it's the failure to circumcise, and this goes to David's question: was this a problem? Right? Maybe Moshe legitimately didn't want to circumcise his son? If you look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayivake Shabiso, Hamalach laMoshe." So Rashi takes the view Hashem wanted to kill Moshe. Lefisha lo mal es Eliezer, but no, he did not circumcise his youngest son Eliezer. Va'al shenis Rachel nenash misa, and because he was lazy, then he was punished with death. So of course, what's the problem by saying that Moshe was lazy?
It's punishable by Misa.
Okay, so you can say it. So that one's not punishable by Misa. And the other thing is...
unusual for Moshe.
It seems unusual. What?
He's busy.
It seems unusual to call Moshe Nisrashel. I'm saying, your question's a great question too. Now, that, by the way, I think is the strongest question against this. The big picture. But we have to know, is this uncharacteristic of Moshe? Like, he's a little lazy in this. And in fact, Rabbi Yossi says, Chas v'shalom lo Nisrashel. Chas v'shalom, how could be the Moshe was lazy? Ela Amar, rather, what did he say? Amul v'yitzil derech, let me... Listen, should I circumcise and go on the road? As David pointed out, sakana hi latidagad shloshi yamim. It's a danger for a baby up until 3 days. Ah, amul v'yitzil shloshi yamim. Maybe I should circumcise the baby, and then let's wait for 3 days. Kadosh Baruch Hu tzivani lechshu Mitzrayim. So, according to this, the baby was born, and then God says at that moment, return, so Moshe's stuck. Do I wait? Do I not? So he's got to go. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu punished? So he says, Lefi shenis asek babalot chila. Because he stopped at the Malon first. And maybe once he stopped at the Malon, maybe then he should have circumcised the baby. And then he goes on to say, Vaya malach nasek min nachash. So he tells a story about that the angel becomes a snake and swallows Moshe from his head until his thigh, and then he swallows him from his feet until his private area. In other words, she's wondering, like, what? Why does God want to kill me? What did I do wrong? So he gives some indication. Whether this was literal or figurative, the point being, you can understand if it's literal why Moshe is not able to do the circumcision. Just saying, because he's incapacitated a little bit. That's this notion of ataga l'raglav, right? You reach his feet, maybe. But okay, so it seems a little unclear. Moshe may not be aware of what's going on. Perhaps related to this, Ibn Ezra says, Vahi vader chaisa kabbalah biyado. He says there was a tradition. Shloyumal ben biyom hashmini hu cholah oyimu baderach. There's a tradition that you cannot circumcise the son on the eighth day if he's sick, and or if he's on the road. She'ein yecholas b'malichal isakev, because you can't just stop. U'bavur ki Moshe lo yuchal isakev b'shluchas Hashem. Rabat says shlo yubal. So Moshe realized he couldn't stop. He had to follow the message of God. He saw that he can't circumcise his baby. Ki istakev anar, the baby's going to become in danger. Im yolichal sobadev, he takes him on the road after he's circumcised. V'inei shalach Hashem malach laskir Moshe. And God sent an angel to inform Moshe, Shenich Atzaso, V'yumahanar V'yachol Levado, that he should leave his family. What he should have done is what? He should have left his family at home and circumcised the baby and leave himself. It was wrong to take the family with him. V'anar Yeh Imimo Achi Shopei, the baby should be with his mother until he heals. And Vine Tam Shif Vayikushe, it wasn't even that God met Moshe, right? Sheba Choli Al Moshe Me Hashem Shlo Al Alibo. That Hashem visited Moshe with sickness. He didn't realize this. So he was saying that if he wouldn't circumcise his son, he would kill him. Bavor Shachazasu Rada Lo Yuchal Hula Malo. Because Moshe was all shaken, all trembling, he couldn't circumcise him. Umala Oso Tzipora Kihu Gila Lazaso. Because Moshe told him why. Moshe was full of fear and trembling. So we don't have female molos. So, right, but here, first example.
By
right,
my
first,
work they do.
Here they did. But I say, Sipar was from, no? She's from Goy. She was from Goy. I'm saying, in Orthodox tradition, they don't have somebody, but Sipar herself did the circumcision. So Moshe was trembling. He couldn't do it. Again, same issue. Either he stopped in the Malone, he should have circumcised him there, he was lazy, or he should have left the kids at home to circumcise. Rav Hirsch has a nice idea. He says, Vaifkasheyu Hashem, he says, Behem Sheikh Hasipor Misparer, from the continuation of the story, it's clear. Shemosha Havir al Mitzvah Milas Bino, that the problem was Mila, Bris Mila. Vizohai Sasibal Sakaras Navsho HaPikomit. And this is the reason for the sudden potential danger to his life. Harei he baderach. Behold, this was on the way. Lahavi gula mazay. Again, Moshe is about to bring redemption to the world. Shechol yichudo mushtad al bris mila. That everything is all, I guess, God's yichud, the yichud Hashem. Everything is about the bris mila. That's the sign. Ve'ech yavila tov kal amzay yela shalonimo. Like one of the signs like that designates a Jew, like in those days, right? Like, what did they do to designate that they were like Jewish as opposed to Egyptian? I don't know. They didn't have any mitzvahs. What was it? Circumcision. Like that was the key symbol of Judaism in Egypt. So how can you bring about a kid who's not going to be circumcised? Mutav yamus, better that Moshe die. Val tia tchila shlichuso machshela. Rather than let his the beginning of his message, be a stumbling block.
Rabbi,
I
was surprised to find out that historians say that apparently circumcision was practiced by a lot of similar.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that.
That time. Yeah, except for the Egyptians.
Oh, Egyptians didn't do it.
Yeah,
okay.
Everybody else did.
Interesting.
Can
you send me stuff if you have stuff? Yeah, like here. So this comes to express to us. He says that God. You might think, oh, look at me. I'm this great. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. I am the messenger of God. I saw a burning bush. God spoke to me. He's got to redeem his people through me. I'm the chosen one. And Rav Hirsch says, what does this teach you? There are many messengers, Moshe, even you, Moshe. Shum Adam, Gam Lo Ha'ish Moshe, Chinuni Vechrich Hul Hashem. Not even Moshe. You don't do your job, you don't circumcise your son, Okay, we'll pick someone else. Oh, we need Moshe. I have to give over. He's got these great midos. No, you don't listen. Basic things. I'll find someone else.
Well, like that's a very common thing where, like, if you do something professionally, then you don't want to also do it at home. Like, when people, you say, oh, do you have a will? That's, you know, the shoemaker's kid has no shoes, right?
Right. So you want to, yeah, you got to be all in.
It's
you got
to
be. Yeah, I understand. Gotta be all in. So again, the first approach is that Moshe's failure is he didn't circumcise Eliezer, and that was something that was so significant because that was the physical sign that differentiated Claudius, Jewish people with the Egyptians. But Aaron's point notwithstanding, I think that some Mepharshim may not like that approach because at the end of the day, like, you really want to kill him for this? Like, I guess Rav Hirsch felt like, and the other function felt that this was so significant. But that's a challenge. In other words, challenge is, does this punishment really, this failure of circumcision result in death? Maybe, argue, like, again, before Torah mitzvahs, maybe this was so central. Okay. Second approach is the Rashbam. The Rashbam says the following. The Rashbam says that, very simple, v'fkir Hashem ha-malach, ki haya misatzel balichaso, u molich ishto balav. You know what the problem is? He took his wife and kids. Nothing to do with Bris Mila. He took his wife and kids. Think about it. God gives you a mission to save Klal Yisrael. Like,
it's dangerous.
So you could say, you're saying, why did he... I don't think he put his. You could look at one of two ways. You could say maybe he put his wife in danger. I don't think that's what the Rashbam says because it's Hoya mis atzel by lichasa. He was lazy in traveling, meaning
don't slows him down.
It's slowing you down. In other words,
yeah, your business trip.
It's a business trip, right? You take your wife and kids on the business trip, but this is not just a business trip. I think the question is why does it deserve the death penalty? Because God had just spoken to Moshe at the burning bush. My people need you. You have a mission to free a nation of millions of people who are slaves. You need to go now. Moshe is insensitive to the needs of the people. By taking his wife and kids, you know, we'll make a road trip out of this. We'll stop off. You know, we'll go to the glass factory. And we'll go to this. You know, we'll make it a whole trip here. We'll make it a whole trip, you know. So... it goes to the minor league baseball game, whatever it is. Yeah? So Moshe, at least according to Rashbam, I think he was insensitive to the needs of the people. You got to go right away. The challenge of that approach, you've said, so how does the Bris Mila solve the problem? It seems that maybe Tzipora is performing the mitzvah as an act of atonement for the sin, maybe. You have to say it like that. In other words, the tension is, you need the punishment to fit the almost punishment fit the crime, and you try to figure out what it is. So if it's the Bris Mila, does that deserve the death penalty? So maybe, you have to say it's so central to a Jewish identity. And the other side is that if you say he's lazy, I could see that being a severe enough punishment. You're the leader, you got to run. You can't just dilly-dally. And then what Tzipora did, is that enough of a demonstration? Yes, that's an act of faith in God. Okay, you have to work on that piece.
So she adds value to his mission.
Right, she has value. Okay. I mean, it's still like, so you say that even though he's lazy, so she's showing God that I still am doing something. Okay.
It's not that. It's, what is the ultimate goal of Yitzhak Mitzrayim?
Yes.
To accomplish our mission.
Right.
Well, if the ultimate goal is that, you know, and he didn't circumcise his son, he's being lazy, and
according to Rashbam, I think the laziness is that the Rashbam doesn't mention the Bris Mila as a failure. I think the failure is simply that he's dilly-dallying. That he's mis'atzel balichasa molech ishto banav. That he's lazy and going, he's taking his wife and kids, they'll slow him down.
But the answer still works.
Right.
Because what is the ultimate goal?
Showing... Right, I guess...
The ultimate goal is the atonement.
Yeah, I guess if you look at this... Right, you're very from Aaron, which is wonderful. No, I hear what you're saying. I guess I was looking... Okay, no, I don't mean to stretch into that. I look at this Like, you're saying, like, the ultimate goal is to bring everyone to serve Hashem, Torah, mitzvot, and everything. I'm looking at this maybe a little bit differently. Maybe that's the answer. I'm looking a little bit differently. I'm saying they're suffering. They're being killed. There's backbreaking labor. So you gotta run. So how does the mitzvah impact that? You're saying it's a broader goal. Maybe that's the answer. Let me share with you the most interesting answer. Okay, it tells you something about Moshe's character, and it's a wild position. I would never say it myself, but Baruch Hashem, I found the Medrash to say this. Okay, Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Vahava ba'orcha bebeis, and then what is it? Mab. I can't even read this. Mab Tuta. So it says that Moshe was in. He was in on the way in this place of lodging. Varabe Malacha Hashem, and so this Malach Hashem visits him. Ubal Lemiktele, and he wants to kill him. Mon biglal Gershom Bre, because of Gershom, his older son. The lo hava gazer al Isaac Yisra. The lo hava gazer. He didn't cut. He didn't circumcise him because of his Asek with Yisro, his father-in-law al Yisro Chamiv. The lo shavge lemigzere. Yisro did not allow Moshe to circumcise Gershom. Biram Eliezer hava gazer bitna di itnayu tarvayud. Meanwhile, Eliezer, he circumcised based on the deal they made. Yisro and Moshe made a deal. You can't circumcise my first son. You can't circumcise my first grandson. You can circumcise my second grandson. What's this all about? Mechilta. Let's read the Mechilta and the Medrash. Veish Shnei Banea Nachria, Rabbi Shua, Omer Shua says, Eretz Nachria, Haisalovadai. Okay, so now this is a bit earlier, right? He said, Gershon, Kiger, Yisiberch Nachria. Rav Elazar Modai Omer, Be'eretz Nachria, in the land of Nachria, it's a strange land. Strange as in idolatrous. Amar Moshe says, Ho'il v'cholam ovdei vodazara, since the whole world worships idols, ani evod l'mi shamar v'hoyim olam. But I'm going to serve the one who created the world. Everyone's serving idolatry. I'm going to serve God. Shevishah shamar Moshe liYisrael. When Moshe says to Yisrael, Tein li tzpora bitcha l'isha, please give me your daughter as a wife. Amar lo Yisrael. Yisrael says, Kibel alecha davar zesh omer lecha v'ani nos l'cha l'isha. Okay, I'll give you here as a wife, but you have to accept one condition. You know it's coming up. Amar lo mahu. He said, what is it? Amar lo, ben shiyeh lecha tchila yiyeh levodah zarah. Listen, this is intermarriage here. Moshe, you're engaging in intermarriage, right? You're marrying the child of an idolater. So how are we going to raise our kids? Right? It's a big child nowadays. When a couple intermarries, right? Do they, the Jew, let's say the Christian intermarry, how are they going to raise their kids? Jewish, Christian, none, right? So this is a big shaila. Moshe had to deal with this shaila. Moshe is about to marry the daughter. Listen, he ran away from Egypt. He believes in God. He runs away from Egypt. He wants to start a family. Can't go back to Egypt. No Hebrews. He wants to. He falls in love with the local idolater.
My impression was Yisrael was like pushing her on.
There are different explanations about. There's a midrash which. You know, Yisro runs away from Paro and he leaves idolatry. Not clear when he leaves idolatry.
No, I'm just saying when they meet.
Oh.
Isn't it like, they're like, where's the guy? And it's like, go get him back or something.
Oh, it says, who was the man who saved you? Right. We all, yeah. Okay. So, he said the person who helped you. Yeah, Vayol Ha'is. There could be some way of reading it, the story like that. He says that, what is it? Just give me the first kid. First kid, I need to have one child who's going to follow my derech. You can have the rest of them. Okay? Give me one child. I want to have at least, I want to tell you my legacy a little bit. You may have a spiritual legacy. I have a spiritual legacy. I want at least one of my grandchildren to continue my Mesorah. And the rest of them, you can continue your Mesorah.
Well,
So this guy Yisro, he never converted to Judaism.
Again, the change it may have later on. I'm saying this is one. It's not like some radical, you know, secular. Or whatever. This is like a medrash. This is what there are different opinions about this, but this is a bona fide medrash. It's also quoted and hinted at in Targum Yosef and Azil. And the Kibbutz of Moshe agreed. Moshe agrees. Okay. This is before the burning bush. So we don't know. Again, Moshe feels an affinity to his people. God hadn't appeared to them. Like, it's not, these rules aren't so, like, fixed in stone, you know, at this point. Amar lo yishavali. He says, swear to me. So vayishavalo, and he swore to him. Shenemar vayoel Moshe. He used the lashon of vayoel. How's that swearing? What's an oath? Aleph lamed he is another word in Hebrew for an oath. Ein ala eloshen shvua lefichach. Therefore, hikdim hamalach lo laharogas Moshe. Therefore, the angel went to kill Moshe. Miyad immediately, vatikach tzipor tzar vatichos orlas beda. So she does the bris mila. So what's fascinating? Maybe she's not bound by the oath. Could be, right? Could be. What's fascinating is, so according to this midrash, Moshe agrees to allow his firstborn son to worship idolatry. And what is God's Moshe message to Moshe immediately before he leaves? So it's a message to Paro, but it's also what? It's a message to Moshe. What does he say? It's wild. What does he say?
My firstborn.
Shalach espedivi avduni. Send my son so he should serve me. But to my Lashalko, you refuse to send him. He didn't know how big his bincha bochorecha. Right? I'm going to kill your firstborn son. So, by the way, I wonder, maybe another way to read this, maybe he was the Malach trying to kill actually Gershon, was supposed to Moshe. Here he says the Malach wants to kill Moshe, but maybe another way, you know, maybe you can read another way, but okay. So, what's God's message to Moshe? If you did not fully identify with me by circumcising your firstborn, then I will kill your firstborn, Gershom. Again, it's not, the Medrash says it was Gershom, it was Moshe, but maybe it's Gershom. In other words, according to this approach, Moshe starts to travel to Egypt as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as soon as God commands him to leave, but he stops at a resting place, and he had time to once and for all throw his lot with the Hebrews by circumcising his son. But once he decides not to do that, he's torn. He made an oath. God strikes his firstborn son, maybe. And it takes an outsider, Tzipporah, to fully realize what's going on. And she does what her reluctant husband cannot do at this point, as she circumcises Gershom. And from then on, Moshe finally understands his role. And only at that point, Moshe becomes the greatest leader that we've ever had. Now, there's initially Moshe was going to follow God, but he made an oath, and he was still torn. Moshe is still searching for his identity. Moshe leaves. Who is he? Is he a Hebrew? Is he an Egyptian? He sort of throws his lots with the Hebrews, then he flees. And in fact, he's recognized by Yisro as an Egyptian. He says it's called an Ish Mitzri. And yeah, God appears to him. And so when Yisro makes a deal with him, okay, like, you know, Moshe's identity is not fully formed. It takes a woman. Yeah. It takes his Goyisha wife. Right? Sometimes it's the girlfriend that brings along the guy, whatever the case is, right? Makes him from her. But it takes Tzipporah to make him realize that, no, you got to throw, I know what you agreed with my father. Okay, so I'm going to get you out of the oath. Like you said, Aaron, I'll do the bris mila. But you got to be all in. Be the leader of Klal Yisrael. It's not only about the physical slavery and freeing them from bondage. It's about identifying with God. And there's only one God. And it's about being all in. And Tzipporah, who realizes this, right? This is truly behind every great man. There was Tzipporah who led him on the path to become the greatest leader that we've ever known.